Ah, welcome to Movie Magic.
We would be honored if you would join us.
5, 6, 8.
5, 1,000, 4, 1,000, 3, 1,000.
I am the father.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Are you one of those single-tier people?
All the dogs in King's Landing howl through the night.
They cry out for their true queen.
I'm Batman.
Name's Bond. James Bond.
One of them leads to the castle at the center of the labyrinth, and the other one leads to certain death.
Go ahead. Make my day.
He sounds like quite a man.
A passenger has died on the train.
Who gave the order to kill me?
Movie Magic with Colin Gomez, Money FM, 89.3.
Commence primary ignition.
December is a period where there are lots of Christmas movies playing everywhere. And if you missed last week's show on Christmas movies, well, fret not. It's archived on our podcast section on our webpage, moneyfm893.sg. Now, this week, I won't be touching on any Christmas movies as they were featured on last week's Movie Magic. Instead, we'll take a look at what's playing and coming up at the cinemas near you. Now, if you speak French, there are three French movies that are playing at the theaters, and they are The Perfect Nanny, Someone Somewhere, and An Easy Girl. And since they are French movies, they're bound to be some sex scenes in these movies. Now, does it matter if these movies were subtitled or not, huh? P. Romley classics are still screened at Shaw Theatres, and I just love P. Romley movies. Now, I'm tempted to play a P. Romley song here, but I won't. All his movies never fail to make me laugh, and I applaud Shaw Theatres for bringing in classics like these. Anaku Sazali is a 1956 movie about a father's extreme love for his son, and the best thing is, P. Romley plays a double role in this movie as the father, Hassan, and the son, Sazali. Like all P. Romley movies, it's a little bit melodramatic, but that's what makes a P. Romley movie great. Anaku Sazali will be screened at Shaw Theatres Paya Lebar Quarter for just one day on Saturday, December 28th. For more details on the timings, you could go online and log on to Shaw's webpage. Now, a must-see family movie that is still playing in theatres is Jumanji, The Next Level. Now, if you haven't seen the prequel to this, I suggest that you watch that first before heading to watch this one. It's one of those laugh-out-loud comedies. Another family movie to watch at the theatres is a Shaun the Sheep movie, Farmageddon. This movie is suitable for very young children, and some cinemas cater to very young children, you know, having dimmed lights on and turning down the volume so that it won't be too loud. Theatres like these also cater to people with sensory issues. Check out your local listings to find out which theatres offer these services.
Movie Magic with Colin Gomez, Money FM, 89.3.
And while we're on the topic of children's movies, the movies that will appeal to both adults as well as children is Spies in Disguise. Because it's a spy movie, but at the same time, an animated one. Will Smith voices the secret agent who, against his wishes, becomes a pigeon. Yes, he's zapped into a pigeon. What a clever way to spy on people, eh? Be a pigeon, yes. Now, if you're a paranoid person, you're probably looking at that pigeon suspiciously right now while you eat your lunch at a market food stall. Spies in Disguise opens on Christmas Day. The Aeronauts is one movie that might give you sweaty palms if you have acrophobia, afraid of heights. And it has a scene where the hot air balloon soars to great heights. That is too dangerous to fly. Will it collapse like a lung having pneumothorax? I sound like the announcer on Batman now. Will Batman use his bat shock spray? Yeah, let's get back to this. Now, only one way to find out is to go to the theaters and watch The Aeronauts. It stars Oscar nominee Felicity Jones, who was in Star Wars Rogue One. I've kept looking at her front teeth for some reason during that movie. Anyway, it also stars Oscar winner Eddie Redmayne. He needs no introduction. And Himesh Patel, who was in the Beatles movie Yesterday. Now, I must warn you, this movie can be quite intense. and it's best viewed on the big screen, and it'll be streamed one day too, as it's an Amazon Prime production. If you like musicals, then Cats is a must-see. I watched the theater version a long time ago at the Esplanade, and I was blown away. The production and the costumes were so real and skin-tight that you'll feel that it was part of their body and that the actors are not humans, but of a cat-human hybrid. That's how real it was. The cinema version is no different when it comes to the looks and performance. I just love musicals. And from Cats, here's a new version of that famous song composed by Andrew Lloyd Webber. This is Jennifer Hudson with...
To the moonlight, let your memory lead you. Open up, enter in. If you find there the meaning of what happiness is, then
simply wonderful. I'm Colin Gomez, and you're tuned to Movie Magic on Money FM 89.3. No other station in Singapore has a dedicated show that brings you closer to the movies than we do. Now, there are two movies that have come to its finale. The first one is Ip Man 4. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the main star in this martial arts movie. Donnie Yen was born in Guangzhou, China. His mother, Bo Sim Mak, was a kung fu master. And his father, Kleister Yen, a newspaper editor and an amateur musician. When Donnie was just 2 years old, the family moved to Hong Kong and then, when he was 11, to Boston, Massachusetts. There, Master Bo Sim Mak, that's his mom, became a pioneer for Chinese martial arts in America. And it was only natural that her only son was trained from early childhood in the same skills. At the same time, Donnie was influenced by his parents' love of music, and he took up piano lessons and became a classical pianist. And he was very good at it. In fact, he is still very good at it. In his teens, however, Donnie was a little rebellious with his parents and started to find his own persona. So he went beyond the limitations of his mother's school by training in various different, fighting arts, including karate, taekwondo, and Western boxing. So besides kung fu, which is Chinese, he learned the Japanese, Korean, and Western way of fighting. Donnie also took up hip-hop and breakdancing. Now, at the same time, he began spending his nights in Boston's notorious combat zone. Now, that was a very bad idea. Now, given that he was by now a serious practitioner of modern wushu, his parents decided to send him to Beijing to train at the Chinese capital's famed Wushu Academy. Now, en route to Boston, he returned to Hong Kong, and that's where he met the famed martial arts movie director Yun Woping. He was cast in the lead role of director Woping's Drunken Tai Chi, and that shot him to fame in the Hong Kong scene. Now, because of his skill in street break dancing, he was cast in a dancing role where he showed off his skill in the slapstick comedy Mismatched Couples. More action movie scripts came knocking at his door, and he was famous for his rapid-fire kicks mixed with Western boxing and grappling moves. His fan base started to grow worldwide, and then Su Hawk named him a co-star in Once Upon a Time in China Part 2. Following that, he was cast in the remake of the classic New Dragon Inn. Now, after working on a number of independent features, Donnie Yen went to enjoy huge success on the small screen when he accepted a lucrative offer from Hong Kong's ATV to film a series based on the Bruce Lee's classic Fist of Fury. The show was the top-rated action drama show around the region. Donnie went on to make his directorial debut with a movie titled Legend of the Wolf. That was a stylish period action movie that even attracted the attention of Francis Ford Coppola. Then Hollywood came knocking at his door, and Donnie Yen was approached to choreograph the action for the mainstream franchise films Highlander, Endgame, and Blade 2. After a period where he was based in Los Angeles, Jackie Chan requested that Donnie Yen play his nemesis in the movie Shanghai Nights. After that, Donnie returned to China to star in the movie Hero, where he dueled with Jet Li. Now, many more action movies came along until he took his career to a whole new level when he accepted producer Raymond Wong's suggestion that he play Bruce Lee's teacher, Ip Man. And that's where Ip Man came along. And that's where it all started. The film was a huge success in Hong Kong and China, and Ip Man went on to gain more fans worldwide. Donnie also received a Best Actor nomination at the Hong Kong Film Awards. He prefers working with real martial artists in his films. Many more films came his way, including Star Wars Rogue One, and now we have Ip Man 4, the finale. Now, speaking of finales, there's one more movie that's coming to its end. Or will it? Since it's so lucrative, I don't know if they're going to make any more of these, but it's supposed to be the last of it. And I think you know which franchise I'm talking about. Now, if you're like me, you probably watched Star Wars already, The Rise of Skywalker. Okay. Am I going to talk about it? Well, no, not really. I'll save that maybe for the next show. But if you haven't watched Star Wars yet, here are some things that you need to know before you go watch the movie. Don't worry, I'm not going to spoil it for you. Not at all. Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, and I say this with a heavy heart, because this is the last Star Wars movie when it comes to the chapters. This is episode 9, the last chapter. Yes, it is the last chapter in one of the greatest stories ever told. After 42 years of twists and turns, we finally have closure on the saga George Lucas started in 1977. A battle between the forces of good and evil. Now, my CEO said, good will always prevail. Now, if you're totally new to Star Wars because you were living under a rock, well, don't worry. Here's a crash course. The Force. Well, you'll hear quite a lot of it being mentioned in all the Star Wars movies, be it live action, animation, or Lego. And it's an energy. It's an energy field that runs through all living beings. The power of the Force can be used by warriors sensitive to it, giving these fighters various abilities including telekinesis, mind suggestion, and healing, as well as an increased speed, stealth, and defense. Now, the Force has both a light side and a dark side, meaning it can be used for good as well as for evil. Jedi. Now, these are Force-sensitive warriors intent on using the Force's power for good. Some notable Jedi include Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, Yoda, and Obi-Wan Kenobi. They wear robes like Franciscan monks, carrying lightsabers like samurai, and have spiritual wisdom like a Dalai Lama. The only Jedi that did not carry a lightsaber in the Star Wars movie franchise is Princess Leia, and maybe because she wasn't trained to be a Jedi, but she did use the Force. The Sith Lords are also Force-sensitive warriors, but their intent on using the Force's power is for evil. Some notable Sith Lords are Darth Vader, Darth Sidious, Darth Maul, and Count Dooku. I know it sounds like a fruit, you know, Bois Dooku? I miss eating that. The First Order is like an authoritative military dictatorship-like government. They rule with an iron fist. No nonsense, and they are supposed to bring order in the galaxy. They are rigid and unforgiving. They rule something like Hitler. The Stormtroopers are elite soldiers supporting the First Order, and they are normally in white armor and they carry blasters. But they would need to go for more target practice training. Just saying. The Knights of Ren work in cooperation with the First Order and the Stormtroopers. Just like the Sith Lords, they are a group of Force-sensitive warlords that lean towards the dark side of the Force. Kylo Ren is one of them. The Resistance are the rebels. Their aim is to reinstate democratic rule in the galaxy. Now, although they are known as rebels, they are the good guys. The rebels have many alliances in the form of aliens, and one race, or one alien race, is the Wookiees. They are hairy, tall aliens that kind of roars when they speak. One notable Wookiee is Chewbacca. The Jedi, Sith Lords, and Knights of Ren weapon of choice is the lightsaber, a sword that lights up with the help of a crystal embedded in the handle. The good guys normally carry lightsabers that are green or blue, while we have seen some rare yellow and purple ones. The bad guys' lightsabers are normally red. Now, there are many planets and spaceships, but I won't go into detail with those. And of course, there are many droids wandering around in the movie. The most famous droids are R2-D2, C-3PO, BB-8, and in the new Star Wars, there will be another introduction to a cone-shaped droid on wheels named D-O, voiced by the director of Episode 9, which is playing in theaters right now, J.J. Abrams. Well, there you have it. This should make you understand a little bit more about Star Wars if you're a first-timer. Now, if you can, watch episode 4 to 8 before heading out to watch episode 9. Don't bother watching episodes 1 to 3. Watch it only if you have time to spare. But 4 to 8 is a must before you watch episode 9. And you might say, oh, Star Wars is not my cup of tea. I don't like science fiction. What's this thing in space where they fight with each other? It's not realistic. Well, let me tell you, Star Wars is not just another science fiction movie. There's more to it. There's a lot of subtle wisdom in it. And I'll save that for another episode of Movie Magic here on Money FM 89.3. I'm Colin Gomez, and I hope this episode of Movie Magic will keep you busy heading to the cinemas. December is the month where we are spoiled for choice with great movies, and there's a good reason behind it. I'll tell you all about it in the next episode of Movie Magic.